All Eyes on Fishing with Mitch Peterson, Josh Sheldon, and Brad Qualley, leading you to the next level.
Hey everybody, welcome back to All Eyes on Fishing. We're going to continue talking about ice. We've had Next Level on ice. We had a guy, Brett Rye, on ice talking about 2021 ice, which was, it was a good time talking to Brett. He's a good stick, and he does some things different than us.
He's an active
very active fish. Very active.
Brett Rye on ice. It's like a drink or something.
Well, and it was so funny because the way that whole interview went, you know, he started out like he was on a like the dating game. You know, I like long walks on the beach. And,
yeah. It's always funny when people haven't done it.
Yeah, and they've never done a podcast.
It actually went really well. Yep. But we got to talking about ice fishing, and we do a lot of the same stuff that Brett does, but we also, after we were done, there's things that we want to make sure that what we've done to be successful, fishing some dead sticks, bobbers, cluster fishing, or cluster ice hole fish, or ice
cluster bombing.
That's what we're bombing. Yeah, so we're going to talk about that.
Everybody's like, what are cluster bombing? Cluster bombing. And now we got your attention.
Yeah, isn't that when you pull the covers up over it? No, wait,
that's Dutch oven.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, sorry, I'm getting my terminology.
I'm gonna cluster bomb in a minute.
Yeah, walleye one is not spacious. If you start doing that, we might have to take a break.
Pause. Yeah. But anyway, so we're gonna start this off. Let's kind of start when we're talking about cluster fishing. What we're talking about when we go out to, whether it's a new body of water that we've just stumbled upon this lake, or we made a trip to a lake, or even one that we fish all the time, because it doesn't really change. We want to find active fish, right? Yeah. I mean, because you're only fishing 8 inches of water. What do you do to make yourself more successful?
8 inches of water. You get that right?
Yeah.
What if you have a 10-inch auger? Then you're...
Okay, 10. All right, somewhere. And then if you have two holes, so you're fishing 16 to 24 inches. Yeah. Okay,
or the guys that cut out the big squares.
Never done that. Baits. That does look pretty cool.
Cast crankbaits. Walk back and forth.
Yeah, I want to do that, but have you seen those guys that have made those?
It actually looks scary to me. Because
it does, because I know after a few beers.
Yeah.
Or I start lipping off to Mitch. He's way bigger than me.
Yeah, that Vex is going to go diving in the water. You're like,
I don't know about that. Yeah, I've lost things through the ice before, and it's in an 8-inch.
They're tough to catch trolling ice fishing.
They are. Yeah, you can do it.
It is.
Well, you gotta just, you know, funny to cut like a big long, or fish a crack like a heave where it opens up. Just
walk up and down it, walk down across it. Yeah. That might be pretty good.
Well, I wouldn't want to be so close. I'd probably put a board on it.
No, that's when
you don't want the shadow.
That's when you bust out the big 10-foot trolling rods.
You can walk.
Well, if you're any good at casting, you can just skip that crankbait right underneath the ice, right? Like they do underneath the bridges and stuff. Like those baskets.
Okay, there's no value add in this at all.
Yeah. Sorry. We just wasted 3 minutes of your life.
That's just how we are. Yeah. But anyway, so Mitch, talk to the listeners what we talk about when we're talking clusters. I mean, we just kind of make up that term, but you'll see what we're talking about.
So cluster bombing to us is like, so we're going to go hit this lake, and we're going to fish, let's just say a submerged island, a sunken island, and it's some structure on the map. So we head out there, we're walking, and it's just Brad and I. Well, we'll find that structure. And maybe in a 40-50 yard diameter area, right? Completely covering the whole area, we may pop, you know, 8, 10, 12 holes. Like I'll drill a couple holes
in that 40-50 yard swath.
Yeah, in this area kind of, right?
Do you go in a circle? Do you go in a half moon? What do you mean?
It's just an area. It's all custom every time. Different every time.
Yeah. Custom. Yeah.
Whatever you
looks
feel.
Like a connect the dots.
But what I'm saying is, you know, we may drill a hole up on top of it, on the side of it, down off the edge of it in the deeper water, on the far side of it, you know, so just kind of randomly all over that structure. And, you know, I pop a couple holes and Brad will start right then, and I'll go out and, you know, and pop more holes.
Usually what happens is when you're popping the holes, I'm going and cleaning the holes.
Yes.
Yeah, I do.
That is true.
I get to clean all the ice because he's got a power auger.
He's a good, he cleans them up good.
Yeah, because I have a hand auger, so I'm fine with scooping out ice because it sucks drilling 12.
But really, I think this came from more of a time management idea because, you know, especially when you're walking out on the ice, you know, we're out here in Colorado, we're not allowed to, you know, drive our trucks and everything. Like back in Minnesota, you know, there's a few lakes you can take ATVs and snowmobiles on, but the majority of our lakes, we've got to walk.
You got to hoof it.
Yeah. So, you know, it
well, and it's dicey ice. I mean, a lot of our lakes, I drove by a couple of ours this week and, you know, maybe half the lake's frozen.
I
maybe
almost
two-thirds.
Got Linda to go out with me.
Well, there were, really? I saw the like the at Chatfield, the bay where we put in, you know, where the boat ramps are. Looks like people are ice fishing there.
Oh yeah,
I think that's all the further out they're going.
That's all. That's actually pretty good right there.
And they're catching little stalker rainbows.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I mean, just for a day on it, it's
right.
It's quick and easy.
But it's interesting because you don't go too much further out than that, and it's open water.
Well, so really, you know, it may take us, you know, 15-20 minutes to drag out onto this spot.
Right.
So once we're there, you know, we really want to cover it. We want to know if there's fish there. If we can get them to go,
it might be like a 200-yard island.
Yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah, maybe it's even bigger. Or yeah, maybe we drill our clusters on this section. But then, boom! If we've hit those holes, we're not marking fish, or even if we're marking fish, but we can't get them to go. You know, we don't give it a whole lot of time. You know, 20 minutes, a half hour on that spot, and boom, we're off to the next spot. You know, it's either another piece of structure, or it's just another area of a bigger structure. Right. But you know, we're not going to sit there. But you know, taking that time to quickly pop out, you know, a dozen holes for us to work over and really get a feel for the whole area. It's just a better use of our time.
I think you hit on that too, because you can look at your lake maps, your like your paper maps or even electronic maps. And when you walk out there, you really don't know what the bottom is, where you're at. Cause it's hard to get a great position because you don't have the, you know, points of reference that you would on the boat. So, I mean, when you get out there, you're like, you're drilling holes and you're like, okay, dude, it should be like 8 feet. It's 24 here. Mm-hmm. I thought we were right on top of it. Well, you move in 20 yards. Okay, now we're starting to come up. So it really locates you into that structure, first of all. And then once you're on there.
It'd be a lot of drilling. I mean, like you said, you're like, yeah, we should be on it. Where are you? You know, and all of a sudden you start to drill the look and it's like, well, we're still at 24. You go drill another one.
And
we're
done
still
this. At 20. We've done that, especially, you know, on lakes that you don't know.
What is the deal? Yeah. Yep. I would go nuts. I'd be like, oh, she's stupid.
Especially lakes that you don't know. So we'll go out there. Let's say we find now the basin to where it's just starting to come up that break. Well, Mitch going up at 5 feet, 8 feet, 12 feet, way down on the basement, 20 feet or whatever that structure looks like, and having like a dozen holes. And once they're cleaned out, now we can just pop back and forth. I'll put my Vex at 5. He'll go out to 17 and say, hey, are there any marking fish? Nope. I'll fish it for 5-10 minutes, move over to the one now that's at 7-8 feet, and he'll go out to 22. Oh, I got fish coming in. Right. And then we can start, just like in open water, you start dialing in where those fish are relating to that structure, because the day before, they might have been all pushed up on 7. Mm-hmm. We don't know.
Yep.
But so if we start picking fish up at that 17, 19, 20 foot, and we get a few to go, and then it's ghost town. We start, there's no more fish. When we move over that next 80 yards or whatever, we'll start making sure that we're drilling 20 foot, 17 foot, and that's where we start.
Matching it.
And matching that. And then, okay, the fish are here again. And if not, then we start moving up, you know, but it's really just gaining
more of a
that
depth
information.
Than, you know, than maybe that exact piece of structure. They were more at a depth instead of it's that island.
Well, it's that depth on maybe all the structures in the lake, right?
I mean,
that time of the day, that's where the fish are hanging. Mm-hmm. But that's the other thing. So say it's late afternoon, and sure enough, I'm out in that deeper water off the edge of that structure. All of a sudden, I'm like, oh yeah, I'm marking one, boom, bang one, right? And then I bang another. Well, I promise you. Guess who's going to be joining me, right?
Right.
We're going to pop a couple more holes out in that deeper water, and we're going to fish them.
You don't know how long that's going to last.
Right. Well, and then, like, that scenario of in the later afternoon, all of a sudden, boom, hey, I haven't seen a mark now for a few minutes. You know, we're not going to just pack them and be like, well, they shut off. Let's go find some new structure. No. Just knowing that it's late in the day, now the sun's starting to go down, those fish are probably moving up. Well, guess what? We've already got holes kind of drilled all the way up the progression of the break, and we can go check them. We can see the top, and boom.
If what do you do to check them? Do you do an attractor, like a spoon or something, or tipped, or do you go bait? I mean, how do you go check?
Well,
I'm not, because I'm
my go-to. Here's my go-to. This, if I was just going to go fish tomorrow, this is what I'd have. I'd have on my jigging rod or my jigging setup, I would have just a Castmaster with a little dropper of fluorocarbon, about 2-3 inches, with a bear hook with a minnow head. That's what I like as my main. That's what I'm jigging. That's what I'm working. So that's my attractor, essentially. But I can't remember the last time I fished my attractor, my jigging rod, without having a dead stick right next to it. So, like, you know, I'd pop two holes, you know, one for my jigging rod and one for a dead stick.
2 foot away is another one.
Yep, couple feet away, and boom! First thing I'll do is I'll drop down my dead stick and get that set up, and there it sits. And that, a lot of times for me, is either just a plain hook with a split shot, maybe 8-12 inches up, and a plain hook and a minnow head, or even a live minnow.
Or, I like using those teardrops with a little wax worm on them. That's what I use a lot for my dead stick. And I'll jig those too, but I am a fan of using some sort, like Brett was using the PK spoons. I mean, I'm a fan of using some sort of attractor.
Did you try those eyeball ones? What are those, Northland? Those eyeballs look like an eyeball. They actually look like a target, right? Like a
I know what you're talking about. But I use some sort of spoon too. Just most of the time it's a cast mesh. Something similar to that is what I'm jigging. But I do the same thing. And this is what Brett did a little bit different. He's jigging two rods. A lot of times I will run my dead stick with a slip bobber. So I'm fishing, let's say I'm fishing 18 feet of water. I'll put that dead stick at 17, 16 feet just off the bottom. So anything cruising is looking up or out to see it. I don't put it right on the bottom. I'm usually have it raised up and then I'm jigging with my jig. And then when I see fish moving into the Vex, I don't move my dead stick up. I work that with my jigging rod.
Yes.
If I start picking fish up at 12, because all these fish are coming in, trout will do that quite a bit. They'll start coming in higher up in the water column. And if you're catching those and your dead stick sitting there, not catch anything, I'll move that dead stick up now if I'm catching them at 12 to like that 10-11. So now my dead stick's working.
So let me ask you guys this, because I've noticed and it kind of makes me chuckle a little, you know, but why what is, like, everybody turns into expert panfish fishermen in the under ice. Like, what is the deal with it? Well, just like bluegills all of a sudden, you know, awesome. People are just taking 1,000 pictures of bluegills.
It's a blast. They are fun to catch.
Sure, they're fun to catch. They're fun with crickets under bobbers in the summer too. But
they taste good. But personally, you can go pound them. Once you find them, dude, you can pound them.
Yeah, but so the panfish are more active, right? Like, I understand the perch, that's a big deal. I mean, I get that.
The perch can go crazy.
The whole Michigan background, I get that. I mean, you know, that's like religion, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, it's like bluegill and crappie.
Dude, I tell you.
Just, but it's like less eyes are being caught. And I've seen some good pictures on social media of some nice big eyes being caught. Mostly it seems like kind of up in Canada. But I was just, it just makes me laugh because guys are throwing out, had a great day, 50 bluegill.
You know what I think it is?
Could you imagine cleaning 50 bluegill?
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah, done. In and out.
Four beers. Yeah. Done.
Barf. Yeah. Four beers
and
five.
And a half a finger.
If I take a break.
And losing half a finger.
You know? No, but I think what it is for me, and this started off when I started ice fishing, 7-8 years, whatever it was when I was little.
Like 60 years ago.
Is because it is a while. But I think because when you are out fishing open water, you have so many options of mobility. You do have mobility on the ice, but it's limited. It's more of a work. So I just enjoy fishing. So once you get out on that structure and you start getting into those crappie, it's like, bam, it's just fun catching fish. It kind of takes you back to when you were young fishing out of your float tube in Pueblo. You didn't care. I'm catching wiper. I'm catching whatever. You're catching bass. It doesn't matter. It's just catching fish. So I think it's the sport of just catching.
Yeah.
It's just fun.
And I was just wondering. It's funny.
I mean, that's what it is for me.
Like their whole, made a meme along a couple years ago that said, ice fishing when everybody cares about catching trout all of a sudden, I mean, it's just.
It's true, though.
Yeah, it is.
We don't go trout fishing. Ever.
Lake trout.
Lake trout's good times. But I mean, when you get a rainbow, you're like, get that sucker off. Come on, take them off. But now you're like,
how many times have we went ice fishing? We take the kids out and we're like, yeah, there's some rainbows. And you're fine with it.
Yeah.
It's fun. I think what I probably enjoy now thinking about it too so much is that we spend a large majority of our time on the water going for walleye. And I love catching walleye, love catching white perch, love catching, but we spend a lot of time, we crappie fish, catfish, do all that stuff. But I would say probably 85 to 90% of our day on the water or higher is walleye fishing.
Yeah.
And when you're on the ice, we'll still go walleye fishing, but this is the time to go out and I'm happy catching.
Yeah.
You know,
I've seen a lot of meows come through the ice. I've seen a lot of meow pictures, not just here, but
I haven't caught other meows places here too. in Colorado.
I think a lot of those farm ponds in Nebraska, if you bet, they're going crazy.
Yeah. We used to catch the bullheads like mad.
I saw some of those pictures. I was like, that looks like a farm pond pile mixture there in their bag.
Well, they've had some crappie, a couple meows, crappies, some bluegill, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. There's some massive perch coming out. Yeah. I saw some Minnesota pictures in Wisconsin where these guys had perch that were just huge. Yeah.
It's amazing. When you catch a big perch, because, we've all caught tons of perch, right?
Yeah.
Man, big perch are cool.
They are.
It's like, wow, they can get this.
That's when you want them, though, through the ice.
Well, it's like finding Bigfoot.
Yeah. Look at this.
It does exist. Yeah, it does exist. Look at the size of this sucker. No, that's true. I was very, I've seen an array of a lot of different fish lately. Coming out of the ice, a lot more. You guys are good at walleye fishing, or pike seem to be pretty popular.
I love fishing for fish with teeth through the ice, right?
Yeah.
Too. But if you're out there and you're not catching walleyes, or you are, it's awesome. That's just like the, icing on the cake. But I'll be the first one, and I've done this 100 times. We're going walleye fishing, and he's like, "Dude, I know the crappie are really hammering over off this dead timber that's underground." I'm like, let's go catch some crappie.
Let's go crappie.
You know what I mean?
Let's go crappie fish.
Because I know in the majority of the year, I'm not going to fish for those fish. It's fun. Yeah. It's fun. Yeah.
I went up to Jackson last year, the year before. I can't remember when it was. By myself. First time I fished it on the
safety
ice, whatever.
First, Mitch.
Well, there were other people.
Okay.
I went during the day. Kept safe. Had my life jacket on.
You did not.
Your Snoopy
arm. There might have been other people there, but you did not.
I didn't have my life jacket. Snoopy arm floaties do not count.
Well,
we've said that before.
You guys know I was going up there to catch walleyes, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, guess what? I didn't catch any walleye. Oh, I did catch one walleye. Yeah. But I caught a few crappie, and I was happy as a little clam.
Those are the pictures. You took pictures. We had a couple pictures of you.
Yeah, they were. It was awesome. Yeah.
It's just
fun. Well, you caught the walleye quick, didn't you? Didn't you get that one quick? You're like, ooh, it's going to be a good day. Yeah. I got one eye.
Yep, and then all I got were crappies after that. But real quick, you brought up a bobber on your dead stick. So I usually have a slip bobber on my dead stick. Because then the fish can take it without, It can take it. You can grab your rod, set the hook.
Yeah.
Where if you don't have a dead bobber on it, like I've done it before with just a spring bobber at the end, or indicator, and you better be quick because you got to get on your rod to set the hook, or they'll feel it, spit it out, whatever. Mm-hmm. So, but right along with that bobber, the one time, and I brought this up before, so if you've heard this before, just listen again.
Listen closely.
We were fishing out in front of the dam at Chatfield years ago, and we just with just our jigging rods, no slip bobbers, nothing. And my buddy kept getting bites. You could see his indicator going, like he was getting bites. But every time he'd go to set the hook, nothing there. And he was getting so frustrated. It was awesome because he was getting so pissed off. And we've all been there, right? Like, not little bastard, I don't want to catch you. No. Well, I said, hey.
I hook everything I go after.
Yeah. Lies.
Okay, you're right. I'm a liar.
But I told him, I said, hey, here. Throw this slip bobber on. Let's see what they are. Well, sure enough, he dropped the slip bobber down. it wasn't out there for a few seconds. All of a sudden, that bobber went about halfway down the hole and sat there. Stopped there. We've all seen it, right?
Just wait.
Everybody, yeah. So we waited. I was like, wait, because he wanted to set the hook. I was like, wait. And all of a sudden, boom, then it committed and it took it. Well, I was like, ooh, here we go. Well, I was like, that's a walleye because I've seen it a million times back home.
I was just
home,
thinking
right?
Where you're fishing, there's a lot of smallies up there.
Well, that's what it was.
Smallie?
They were all like 15, even 16-inch smallies through the ice.
Mm-hmm.
And once he did that, he didn't miss another one, and it was just one after another.
You know, when I was talking...
I could see that being fun. I would rather do smallies over bluegills or, I think...
Sure.
I would, too, but it's fun. If you got in a pile... Remember as a kid when you go out and you'd catch like 50 in an afternoon? It was a competition between your buddies.
What, smallies or bluegills?
Bluegills.
Oh, yeah. Well, bluegills and crickets... is a blast.
It's a blast.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. But it's another thing I got to thinking about cluster fishing before we start wrapping this up, because when we were talking different zones, we do this all the time. We use our dead stick, not necessarily at the 2 foot hole right next to us. So if I'm fishing 18 foot of water, I can set my dead stick that's 10 yards away at in 11 feet of water, and now I can watch my bobber, because if it goes, I just run over there and gain time. But it starts giving you that information. Okay, where are the fish active? Because I know I'm in 11 feet of water. I have that thing raised up to about 9.5. You know, I catch one. Oh, put it back in. I catch another one. Clue. Maybe I should have my other. I should be jigging in 9-10 feet.
I'm pulling my crank through the fissure over at the other end at about 2.2, depending on how fast I can go on the ice. You know?
But you know what I mean. So it does. That does work good. I know you do it too. You'll set your bobber off 10-15 yards away, fishing another structure or a different depth, or even the same depth, but just away from you, to see a fish are moving through and finding where those active fish.
Yeah, it all sounds cold to me, but
I'll bring a life jacket. You'll be fine.
I'm not worried about falling through or anything. Yeah, I just
sharks.
Yeah,
sharks. Could be sharks.
That's a whole other conversation.
That's true. Thing is true. Brad was, when we went to Mexico, he was out there and he
I just go running out.
Yeah, he goes running out. He's kind of floating, belly sticking up above the waves. I told my wife, I said, it looks like a giant white bobber. I said, any minute now, we're just going to see that belly.
My wife goes out there and so does his. And he's like, God.
Yeah.
He didn't want to go.
He did not want to go. That's a whole nother story we'll talk about.
Well, and then we hooked a shark when we went out there, and I was like, I'm really not going. Peace out. No way.
It was awesome. Yeah. But anyway, we're not going to get into shark fishing
tonight.
I know. That's a good story.
We have some shark fishing.
We have some barracuda.
We will have some all eyes salt water.
We have a stranded at sea fishing. Trip out on that.
Yep. Well, and I've got an April trip planned for going out of the south tip.
Going tuna fishing?
Yeah, south tip of Florida. And then the plan is to go as far as Bermuda and then stay in Bermuda and then come back a day and tuna, cuda, whatever.
Cool.
It's gonna be awesome.
Yeah, and I guess what's the other one they get that looks like the barracuda but it's different?
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. They swim super fast. I can't even tell them apart, but they know.
They have tournaments for them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. We'll take this offline. This is an ice fishing one. No, but hey, everybody.
Saltwater.
I know.
We're catching sailfish.
This is how it goes for hours in this studio all day long.
Yeah.
But anyway, hey, guys, thanks a lot for following us on All Eyes on Fishing and tuning into our podcast. We really appreciate when you share us and send it out to your friends and let them know about this podcast. Check us out on our website at alleyesonfishing.com. We have some apparel there. We also have our alleyesonfishing@gmail.com to where you guys can send us information or questions. We get to them. We love corresponding back and forth. So from everybody at All Eyes on Fishing, thanks.
This has been All Eyes on Fishing. Thanks for listening. If you like what you heard, go ahead and subscribe to The Next Level. And you can hear longer podcasts and more information on all of your favorite topics. And check us out at alleyesonfishing.com for apparel, blogs, and other information. Don't forget to check us out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. All Eyes on Fishing, leading you to the next level.